What's your favorite? Checking back in with y'all, man. How you feeling? How's your heart doing today, man? I just know I needed to break the monotony of what I have been doing. I think it's been a couple of weeks since I came on here, and hell, that's better than it's been. It'd be like I'd be taking like 6 month, year long breaks from this shit, and I promise that I'm gonna do better in spaces and seasons where I'm actively, y'all. I'm actively working to pivot. I said I was gonna use this as more of a journal and a diary and an opportunity for me to just like speak radically honest truths and practice that, because that's just what the time is calling for right now. It is October 19th, it'll be October 20th. It was October 20th in Georgia. I'm a Georgia boy. I'm just living in Alabama for the time being. And yeah. This is one of them heavy ass, and shout out, it's 11-11, man. So that's a good sign for me hopping on right now. Free Palestine, bruh. I'm going to just start off with that, bruh. Free Palestine. There's so much back and forth around who and what and, you know, who evil and who did this and who did that. I mean, the history speaks for itself. And while we stand in solidarity with all oppressed peoples in the world, we honor and we acknowledge the fact that globally, me as an American, I'm aware, because I'm an international citizen, most of my family is not in America, I'm aware that regardless of my blackness, the fact that I'm an American creates a disdain in the mouths and the eyes of individuals who see America as what it is and what it has been, which is a global bully and imperialist, just an imperialist monument and a, you know, we talk about pivots and paradigm shifts, you know. America and its establishment, what's the shift? Essentially, in this and in our reality and our understanding of it. So, you know, for years I followed some very radically, just radically honest and radically graphic pages on social media that have kept me abreast to the Israeli occupation in, as well as in terms of the, you know, the settlers, the ability for somebody to say, hey, I'm Israeli, the house that you've lived in for years is now mine. That's some wild shit in the name of the Lord. Yeah. This is not a political podcast. However, comma, everything we do in this life is political. So that idea of, oh, I don't fuck with politics, nigga, by my very existence, by me coming on here and talking about this, by that very nature, it is political. My breath right now is a political act. Me speaking truth to power in all the ways that I have and all the ways that I do is an act of revolution. And I think that is what I've been sitting with the most in this season, this transition season, this pivot, is just what it means to live a life rooted in honesty, rooted in truth, rooted in liberation and freedom, in a world that is hell-bent on turning your body and convincing your body that it is for nothing but production and labor and consumption. I want to be radically honest right now, because there's so much that's happened today that has led me here, and also so much today that could have kept me from sitting still enough to do this. Because if I'm being honest right now, there's a lot of shame that I'm sitting with in my body around my circumstances, a lot of shame that I'm sitting with in my body around my efforts, in life, in love especially. I think the last episode was on ethnomonogamy. I'll be real with y'all, man. This shit sucks. not sucks in terms of the growth aspect of it and how much I've grown as a person. It sucks in the fact that, like, because of my trauma, because of the things I've experienced in life, I'm constantly at odds with the reality that, or just the my current reality that, in the way that it feels like, no matter how much I improve, no matter how hard I work to be communicative and be open and honest, no matter what those efforts look like, I'm always going to be in a space where I'm letting someone down. And I think non-monogamy, just for me, is just a reflection of my entire life, one that has seen me really just split up my, you know, my love and my care into showing up for people in the community, and by proxy of showing up for other people, I should have my needs, man, right? I should be good, which is very rarely how that goes down. In this season, I'm just radically aware to the things that I'm feeling, radically aware to my emotions. I think this episode, this journal entry is more so about me emoting in a way that makes sense. A lot of crying today, a lot of tears. I went and picked up my daughter after school, and you know, I wasn't supposed to get her today. Her mom was supposed to pick her up, and you know, me and her mom going back and forth, and even on that shit, like, you know, I had posted I gotta come on here more, but like, so y'all, my regular listeners, y'all know what's up in terms of like my back and forth with my daughter's mother over the years, which has been the impetus for most of my art and curating and the dialogue and the growth and all of that shit. And over the past couple months, since the end of July, you know, when I stopped working my full-time job, when they let me go, since then till now, which has roughly been about going on 3 months now, it's probably been the least amount of conflict that me and my daughter's mother have had, which is extremely positive. However, in that, I think what it's making me realize is just how much effort goes into, for me, showing up to parents specifically from a deficit standpoint. I've talked about this a lot. I just think in this moment, I'm, again, just levels to this shit, right? When, you know, you go through it the first time, it's like, all right, bet this shit, you know, it's hard, a lot harder now. I still go through it the second time, it's like, goddamn, all right. But maybe I done learned a little bit now. I go through it the third time, it's like, man, fuck. I'm like, okay, maybe it's me. Like, I really got to look in the mirror, right? This was 5 years ago, the third time, right? I haven't worked a full-time job in over 5 years. And to get back into a professional 9-to-5 space, to bust my ass, you know, I'm sitting here now. Like I told y'all, I rent a room in a house, you know, nice neighborhood. I'm talking about that shit, like the place I live in has completely like blown me the past couple months. But to say all that, to say like I bust my ass to get a sense of stability for myself, for my child, to physically be present for her in the city, a city that I've expressed so many times over and over that I feel like I'm not supposed to be in them, all right? To do all of that, and knowing that there's something about the way that I present myself, there's something about the way that I speak truth to power, there's something about the way that I do the work that I do, that while effective, it truly is shadow work, because it triggers the dark spots and the spaces and people that they probably have not sat with, I'm asking the question and interrogating aspects of culture as it relates to parenting, as it relates to relationship dynamics, as it relates to purpose and professional goals. I'm interrogating all of that shit in our relationship as Black and Indigenous people, you know, to the crooked room, to capitalism, to this white supremacist state and nation. And I'm be real with y'all, man. And it's just on some real nigga shit, bro. Like, as hard as I am, like, when I say hard, y'all know what I mean. Like, as far as my shit is, as dope as I know the curriculum is and what I'm presenting is, even how I'm doing it. Like, I'm taking, you know, Breakfast Club, Lil Baby interviews, and, like, breaking down, you know, breaking down certain aspects of integrity and character and, you know, narrative, right? Teaching narrative, false narratives versus radical honesty. Doing all this shit, right, in context, culturally relevant, in languages that these young people can understand, and getting the best feedback from the young people. Again, we're talking about 22 and under. We're talking about Gen Alpha, right? We're talking about, like, yeah, Z and Alpha, nigga. We talking about the young, the babies. And the heartbreak of it all. And I really, whoever's listening, I don't give a fuck if it's, I don't really care if it's 1,000 motherfuckers here on my channel. I just need to truly express, like, what I'm feeling. And I really need y'all to sit with this shit, because the spirit is impressing upon me to just, like, talk to your journal, then I put your journal entry in, because when you talk this shit on social media, folks don't be hearing. Niggas don't like to read, so they're not reading them long ass 4-page letters and shit. Because the baby fool, the same fool who had to watch and take care of my little brother at 4-5 years old, the same fool had to ensure that, you know, nobody mess with my little brother for most of our lives and protect us from, you know, danger in certain ways. The same fool who had to be the man of the house and be responsible enough to be the masculine presence and bring peace and calm to very chaotic situations. That same fool who was not protected and prioritized and surrounded by family as a child, who needed protection, who needed safety, who needed support, tangible support, not just, oh, fool, you're smart as hell, You a genius, you know, all your teacher says you can go to Harvard and you can do this and you can do that, while actively ignoring this child, while actively focusing on all of your issues and everything going back on in Cameroon and with, you know, with your siblings and their kids. The same young fool who had to be outstanding, not great, not good, but outstanding, in order to get attention, to have folks slow down and say, hey, maybe we need to watch this kid, maybe we need to, you know, walk with him a little bit. And that, the walking didn't even happen, they just slowed down enough to look a little bit. That a fool at 35 years old, when I'm sitting in the car rider line to pick up my daughter from her magnet school, with my car tank on E, like it's been the past 3 months, day to day, I'm just filling it up to get from home to school, to the library, back home, to the gym, back home, like, with an expired tag, with no car insurance. Baby food be wanting to burn shit the fuck down. If I can be 1,000% honest with y'all, like, baby food really be like, fuck this shit. I'm sad at the fact that my energy that I know has been blessed and given to me. Like the breath in my body, my personality, my heart, my joy, my love, my ability to see people, to reflect them, their complete selves and their whole selves back to them in a way that honors and venerates them. That has been shat on in this city. That has been shat on in the South. That has been shat on in my experience as a cishet, non-traditional black man, male wellness professional, psychotherapist, counselor, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I wrote a status today, or just when I was on my story, but just again, radically honest with how I feel right now, radically honest with the resentment in my body around doing this work. And I think there is, you know, again, I was saying, like, I feel like a caricature sometimes. Like, again, I ain't like a lot of niggas. I ain't coming to work in no suit and no traditional nothing. Like, I'm Pisha. Like, I'm a real Southside nigga. I seen a video today, nigga was mocking Gunner. Talking about, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, real P. Yeah. Like, but that's just me for real. Like, it's not me trying to dress young, not trying to me look young. Nigga, I'm from Atlanta. Like, my style is really real. You know what I'm saying? I really be putting that shit on y'all. And the fact that I do, and I'm being real with y'all, like, this shit is mind blowing to me. The fact that I do move how I move, present how I present, the fact that I'm a little more risque with my presentation, but I'll be clean as fuck, y'all. Like, the fact that that's the case, it's almost convinced me that I'm wrong, that I'm the problem. The cricket room, and I'm saying this because it's not just, oh, like, people saying, I think I got one follower, I love her to life, but she be like, whenever I get on my stories and I reflect on my conversation with my mother and our conflict and our back and forth, a lot of times she's like, well, you know, at this point, you know that it ain't you. Like, why are you, you know her lack of awareness is what is causing this conflict. So why do you, you know, why do you, why does it trigger you? And I think as much as, again, and it's very indicative of the work that I've been doing, right? Very indicative of the reason why I'm saying I'm retired from therapy and why I'm stepping back, because cognitively, right, my awareness that my mother is not able to understand, not fully able to see, be aware of the ways in which my upbringing and the things we experience, how it's impacted me deeply, how our inability to speak truth to power together or meet in the middle in our differences has actually influenced me in the way that it has. I think that's why I write my books. That's why I slow down, because I'm like, okay, at what point will I feel like I have to stop explaining to people who I am and why I do what I do, why I say the things I say, why I respond how I respond, why I move in the world the way that I move in the world. And because I'm constantly in response or in survival mode, oftentimes it doesn't feel like I'm able to sit down and be still enough to give myself the time to do this, to express how I feel, to talk about the deep pain of, like I said, having to be in a car rider line, pick up my daughter, and everything being a critical decision, like everything being a okay, I'm at the house. I'm doing the work, doing this work. It's 12 o'clock now. I might get in a groove or something, and that might last me about an hour, hour and a half. Now it's 1:30. At 1:30, okay, now I'm thinking, like, all right, what's today? Today's Thursday. Her mom said she was going to pick her up. All right, I get a text from her mom. Oh, my meeting's. Oh, no. My mom asked, could I pick her up? Get a text from her mom. Oh, meeting's canceled. Could you get her? Now we're back and forth about weekend schedules. Now we're talking about Halloween. Now she's asking, are you going to go half on a Halloween fit? Can we get back to a consistent weekend schedule? Now realizing, like, October was a crazy month because birthday month and homecoming and all type of shit going on. So, of course we can. However, this month been what it is on top of me trying to figure shit out. But me figuring shit out is the reason why we had the conflict for all this time in the first place, because she wasn't trying to hear that figuring out shit while she's married with all the, you know, with stepkids and a more fixed budget and all this shit. And now I ain't paying child support. Like, y'all understand where I'm coming from with this shit? Like, to even slow down enough for me to now go back into a space where I'm applying for jobs again. Do you know how much that is taking me right now? Do you know how much effort and energy that is taking out of me while actively showing up for my daughter, while actively showing up to try and build romantic partnerships? And that shit is so real, because actively my partner, who is present here in Huntsville, that has grown in a number of ways over the past year, even surprisingly to me. And my long distance partner, that has grown, you know, incrementally in different ways. And the whole time I'm actively in a relationship, pouring into folks, being poured into, I'm just need y'all to understand that the cricket room is telling me that I'm not worthy of this shit. I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy of being in a relationship, because currently right now I'm 3 months behind on my child support, 3 months behind on my car note, 3 months or 2 months behind on my rent. Like, the cricket room is gonna tell me that, like, I ain't worthy of having friends or social shit because I'm not. Like, I think the idea of providing and protecting, it's like I've been providing and protecting for people my entire life, and I'm just now getting to a place to where I can even slow down enough to do it for myself. So there's so much discourse around, you know, men in the state of, like, male female relationships, which of course, you know, is very gendered, you know, language again, binary language. But it's just like, shit. Yeah, we can talk about men getting to a place to where they provide and protect for themselves first before they look to it for women. And we have to talk about the fact that a lot of men have been doing that for most of their life for other people. A lot of us. I don't know what these white folks' relationships and their lives look like. I know where I'm from. I'm from the south side of Atlanta. I know plenty of households where there was a boy or a male who was given the head oldest daughter role. And I'm only speaking about this because, again, I'm in a relationship with black queer women who live by a woman's ethic and have taught me hella shit for me to even have this, you know, have this analysis. Like, I learned from black women and empathize with black women because I was raised by powerful black women, and also given many of the roles inside of my household as an eldest daughter versus that of an eldest son. And the reason I'm saying that is because my interrogation of how eldest sons get treated is the exact reason why masculinity and why the patriarchy is fucked up. Because eldest sons and sons actually get, like, a lot of the, yeah, man, look, you gotta interrogate this shit. Motherfuckers get they're the favorite, not from a place of like equity and sharing the burden of survival. They're a favorite by way of patriarchy, saying that it is the oldest son or these rites of passage that get given or get passed on to the son or the oldest son, which basically, you know, pardons him from sharing certain burdens of survival, which pardons the boys in certain ways from having to be mindful of their environment and of the women in their environment. And I'm to be real with y'all, being in a household with my mama, my auntie, Malika, and then you got my little brother. Like, majority of women in my family, my mama, there was 5 girls, 1 boy, my mom. Not a lot of men in my family, at least not in my relationships with. So the idea of me having to protect women, having to be mindful that, you know, and not even just be mindful, just the awareness that, like, ain't no difference. Like, my mama, a whole doctor of nursing, my auntie, what, all but dissertation. Like, 2 doctors raised me, 2 powerful African women raised me. What inequality? Who different? What man got more clout than my auntie or my mom? Right? So, the manifestation of my upbringing and all of that is what has led to what you see and what y'all are hearing now. The interrogation of this shit. I've done so much over the years to create and to be a light and to shine and to live a life that doesn't sit with and sit in the resentment that is very much rooted in my body. I can say that now. It's in my bones. It's not in my head. It's in my bones. Because resentment, because I get angry and shit, I realize I played middle linebacker for real at the Division I level. A lot of anger in that. It's a lot of shit in my bones. And today, amidst a lot of frustration, and I'm being real, real, real with y'all right now, man. If you give a fuck about a nigga, just know, like, my radical honesty is for us to really slow down. To really ask ourselves, like, who are we putting on platforms? Who are we listening to? It's some play ass shit that I got in the archives in the vault. Some play ass shit that I got coming up and on the way. And I study the greats, pop, you know what I'm saying? I study, you know, like, the black man that we say, you know, we should listen to. And even those niggas get interrogated, asking them niggas questions. So one day, like, when they pull this shit back up and they listen and they study this shit, like, y'all, please stop saying that there wasn't no niggas being real. Please stop saying that we wasn't being honest. Please stop saying that we weren't showing up to love and care for our families and shit and really care for ourselves. And not in a materialistic, go get a bad way, but like, nigga, I'm staying in my body. I'm keeping my dick in my pants because I done been burnt before, because I done been fucked up before. Not running back into the 9-to-5 professional space just cause I need some money. Like, I don't want to die. Like, I'm a fucking genius, bro. I know what I'm capable of, and I want to raise my child. I want to be here for her. So for everything I said the night first, you know, like, yeah, today was a rough day, and I made it fucking through. If nobody told you today, bro, I love you. Just keep showing up, man. And pray tomorrow is a better day. Play, all right.